What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day. What a great day. You know the rules, you guys. Hump someone you love.
How are you feeling today? I'm feeling so incredible because it's hump day, which sometimes I'm like jazzed about, other times just sort of floats by on the calendar. I don't notice it, but I have the cutest, most precious Chemin on my lap, smelling good with his little short hair. Yeah, show off that cut.
Hey, Theo. Sexy man. Hey, sexy man. Yes, Theo's in studio today. Fresh chop.
Missed him so much yesterday. Like, I really have separation anxiety from him because, like, the bond that we fostered
while we were away
was just, like, probably the most special part of my trip.
I agree. And I, too, have separation anxiety from Theo. I feel like a lot of dogs, actually, in our country right now are going through this thing where it's, like, we all train our dogs to be independent and, you know, self-sufficient, and you know, we have busy lives, we go to work, we go out with friends. The dog should be able to, you know, entertain itself while we leave them at home for a couple hours a day. And now we've been at home for like 6 months straight. I literally have not left Theo's side for a minute, and all the work that went into making him like the independent, self-sufficient man that he was is down the toilet,
out the window. He's so codependent. When we were away, like every time we would leave the house, he would wail, like literally wailing, wanting to come. So we just like would take him to the gas station, like to
wherever. We weren't going anywhere exciting, like Theo.
Except for that one time we left. We did something so foolish. We were going on a hike, but we thought we would be biking, and so we didn't take him. So we left him, and he was wailing. And then we went on the hike, but it turns out we didn't even use the bikes, so he could have come. And like, I think he's still upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like a burden that us dog owners, I feel, are now carrying.
And dog aunties.
In this climate, is what do we do about our dogs? Like, how, I don't know if we're ever going to transition back to real life. Like, are we ever going to go to concerts again? But if we are, like, our dogs are going
to
be alone.
They're going to have to come.
I think so, too.
I think so.
Like, we'll get them little headphones.
It has been really hard on the dog aunties, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're very aware of, like, how coronavirus is impacting the human race. But I don't think we're really talking about how coronavirus and just, like, this national crisis, both economic and emotional crisis, is affecting our dogs and our pets, even our cats.
Even the cats.
Even though I just don't like cats, like, at all.
I know.
I feel like there's so many different types of people in the world. There are dog people, and I feel as though those are my people. There are people who don't like dogs. Like, that I can't even begin to understand.
I think that's a really minority group. I think there's two different types of people in the world. People who can stand cats and people who can't. Like, and there's no in between. You either, like, are a cat person or you hate cats.
Okay, not only, and I know, like, this is going to be controversial, like, my pit bull comment a few weeks ago, but, like...
That's months ago, by the way.
Months ago, whatever. But I'm going to say it. I hate cats, and not only do I hate cats, like, I judge people with cats. I do.
Wow.
There's obviously something wrong with you, like...
She said what she said.
I said what I said, and you know what? I'm not editing it out, because that's how I feel. And I never feel more unsafe in a place that there is a cat. Like, me and Ben, wow, like literally 6 years ago, we filmed this like Snapchat show with, who was it with?
Shape.
Oh, it wasn't Snapchat. It was like a digital web series with Shape magazine, where like these two fatties like tried out like cool trendy workouts. And one of the workouts was cat yoga, which is essentially, it's a cat cafe. All the cats, it's like a great premise. You know, all the cats are available for rescue. And you go in, you can do yoga, and the cats just like roam about, jump on you, you know, breeze by you. And they're just like in your atmosphere. And when I walked in, I literally started hysterically crying. I begged them not to make me do it. I did my hair and makeup on the street. Like, I literally would not go in there. And ooh, oh my God, I have chills just thinking about it. It was so scary. I did the whole yoga session, like panting, screaming, crying. It was the worst moment of my life. And I hated the cats before then, but like being in that sort of environment with them,
that could be traumatizing. I could see how that could be traumatizing. That sounds like really unnecessary, you know, for the cats to be involved in the yoga.
I couldn't agree more.
That is beyond strange. It,
like, remember how in Beverly Hills Housewives
they did goat yoga?
I would have preferred goat yoga.
Yeah, for some reason, sounds preferable.
More peaceful.
Yeah, and like, I feel like it's kind of like horse therapy, like where you can transfer your energy onto an animal. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like cats are willing to take up that burden for us. Whereas I do feel like horses and goats are able to.
Cats are also like descendants of lions. And like that is something that like lives inside me. Like
every
that
time
information.
We say cats, I'm like, cats.
Every time we say cats, every time we say cats, I'm like, Jason Derulo.
No, it's like, but how do you love and adore Taylor Swift given...
It's like the one thing that like I just can't get on board with for her. Like, yeah. I would love to engage.
Like, that is the whole board for her. Like, there's
there's so much more to Taylor Swift.
There's no like doubt. Like, I would say like if she had to like write down her top three passions in life, like
it would be music, family, cats.
Perhaps, yeah.
And I know that. And that's something like I personally have to live with and just come to peace with within myself. And I'm glad you pointed that out because it's like a huge point of contention. Like every time it's like the cat is like involved in something, I'm just like, ugh, the fucking cat. Like I literally despise cats. Like, and you know what? I think I despise cats? Well, amongst so many other reasons. But it's like when I was in the eighth grade, we went to Israel and Israel, like, years ago used to have, like, a rat problem. Mm-hmm. And what the country did was they released all these cats into the wild to eat the rats. And it worked, but now they have a cat problem. So you're, like, sitting at a cafe and, like, there's literally a cat, like, licking your foot. And it's so normal there. It's fucking disgusting. Like, literally.
They just, like, roam this town. It's kind of like the pigeons in New York.
Yeah.
Like, they are tenants, landlords, like they own land here.
And like they're just a part of the everyday culture. Like you're an ice cream shop. There's a cat on the man's head. Like it's fucking wild.
Not on the man's head. Like no. There's just a cat.
They're just everywhere. And it was such a culture shock for me that like I don't think I really ever got over it. It was so disgusting and like so vile. And really they just prance around you and just come out of nowhere. Sick. I'm sorry. If you have cats, this is going to be a hard episode, but we'll move on.
But I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
What is like a bigger thing that you have to that you can't reconcile for yourself? Like Taylor Swift's love of cats or Taylor versus Kim?
You want to know what it is? Taylor versus cats. Taylor, I can't reconcile that more because honestly.
Wait,
like,
which one? You just.
Yeah, I said both. Taylor and her cats. That's harder for me to swallow. Let me tell you why.
I didn't think you were going to say that.
Because Taylor and Kim, as much as like it kills me that they don't get along, like they really shouldn't. Like they're polar opposites. Like honestly, if there was a world where they were best friends, like it would make no fucking sense. Like they're opposites. So even though that's difficult for me as like a stan, I can kind of understand it. I can't understand Taylor Swift liking cats. I can't understand human beings liking cats. Like, they're fucking gross.
That's so gross. So that's what I mean when I say, like, I really think there's two types of people in this world. And, like, no one just feels, like, in the middle of it. Like, oh, I'll go over and pet that cat.
Sick.
They're either, like, not going to pet the cat or they own cats.
That's also, like, people who, like, go to the park and bring home squirrels, you know? Like, that's sick.
I don't know those people.
People do that.
Well, maybe like outside of New York, like.
And don't get me wrong, like I'm an animal person. It's just I don't take wildlife home. That's sick, and that's what cats are. And that's, in my opinion, like that's what cats are. You're taking wildlife home.
Rare.
They're so unpredictable.
Okay. I don't want to upset anyone. Like, if you have a cat, or, like an important cat in your life, like I'm happy for the love that you have. Like,
yeah, no. You know? By the way, if you have a cat in your life, like I still value you as like a human, and I recognize your existence. I just like stay away from you, okay?
Keep the cat away.
No, you too. You scare me. You obviously like are so reckless and like don't value life. Like, but, like you're sick.
There's so much to be said for cats. Like in defense of cats, they are so self-sufficient, and they the difference between owning a cat and a dog and like what it means when you leave your house, and like the cats are quite intelligent,
yeah,
and they just like are on their own, like they're independent, strong women, and we have absolutely no choice but to stand and support them.
You know what, that's true. Like having a cat is so easy. Like you go on vacation for like 6 months and the cat comes back and like he went to business school, you know? Yeah, like yeah, it's wild. So I hear you. I see the value. I do. I just, but then you also have to like live with the cat and it's like, who cares if he went to business school? Like he's gross, you know? Honestly, I feel like this episode is gonna be really triggering for like cat people. Like, please don't come for me. Like, we're just joking around. Like, this is a funny show, comedy podcast. Like, please.
It's so hard these days that like...
No, by the way, I literally have a pit right now about like making fun of cats. Like that's how sick our culture is. Like
I know.
We're so fucking sensitive. Okay, I don't like cats, but like it's a joke. If you have a cat, like you're a fine person. I'll still hang out with you. Like it's a joke. Hello. I just feel like I have to say that. Like when I made that pit bull joke, first of all, I think it's worth mentioning. Like our community went wild with the pit bull joke. I'm pretty sure I didn't even actually say the word pit bull. I just inferred it, which is, there's a difference. And second of all, I was completely joking. I never said pit bulls are bad dogs. All I said was like, I wonder if the dog, I can't say it again. Like, I can't go back there, but like, it was a fucking joke. So is this, please don't come for us.
But
like,
you also,
we've had
like,
a rough year.
You said it knowing that it's like really upsetting for people to hear that.
I was being
like,
a shit starter.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I was being a shit starter.
Not because you thought that, but because like you wanted to say it.
But like, honestly, like if jokes about cats and pit bulls like bother you, like I actually hope like this particular episode like turns you away from the toast, because I really don't want those type of people like listening to the show, you know? Like we're gonna, like we've become so censored. Like our jokes are like not even funny anymore, like because we can't even joke about cats and pit bulls.
Yeah, I agree. So if this is your last show, Theo says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh no, we're still working, Theo.
Yes.
Okay, so I think without further ado and offense, we should just get into the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Yes, and today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon channel. Please head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast if you want to join. What is our Patreon, you ask? It is our premium subscription service. So, of course, Jackie and I do the show every weekday, all the time. Show is totally free. You can watch it on YouTube, listen to it as a podcast. So we have a premium subscription membership where you can pay $7.99 to get 5 extra episodes from us a month. The episodes are sometimes vlogs, they're sometimes podcasts. We have guests, we have family. It's a little bit more behind the scenes. So that $7.99 gets you those 5 extra episodes a month. And then it also gets you access to our private members only Facebook group, which is the Toast After Dark, a fabulous place on the internet, a safe place on the internet. There's so few of those these days.
One of the last.
So again, that's patreon.com/morningtoast, a great way to get more content from us and to support the show. So head over and check it out. So we are going to do our fast five, and then we're going to do a little TV recap, because I want to talk about I started Real Housewives of New York from the beginning.
I watched This Is Paris.
Great. And then we'll jump into Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. So it's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day. Let's get right into it. The big story of the day, really the only one, the big one, really the big one.
What is it?
Cardi B files for divorce from Offset after 3 years of marriage following rumors of his infidelity. Cardi B and Offset are officially calling it quits. The WAP rapper filed for divorce at an Atlanta courthouse on Tuesday, saying the marriage is irretrievably broken and there are no prospects for a reconciliation. Reportedly, after finding out the Migos rapper had been unfaithful yet again, People confirms.
What is wrong with people?
The pair, who share a 2-year-old daughter, Culture Chiari, are due in court on November 4th.
First of all, I love that she's the WAP rapper. That's like hard to say. Two, this actually makes me sad. I really like stand their love. Like, I thought it was cool how like Cardi B like was like this just out there personality. Like everything she did was so crazy and out there, but she was also like low-key like married and like had a family, and it was like cute and like a nice like dichotomy.
Yeah.
And this is sad. I don't know why like men just like can't keep it in their pants, but
yeah. And she forgave him before for this. Mm-hmm. And so it is really sad, but you know, everyone has their breaking point, and like no one should have to put up with this.
Agreed.
Like, time and time again.
But you know what? They say like men cheat when they're not getting it at home. But like, I just don't believe that. Like Cardi B, she literally sang about her WAP. Like,
I don't think that's true. I think men cheat. Cheaters cheat.
Yeah. And I think when you're at a certain level of fame, like you just cheat like literally because you can.
Like it's literally right in front of you.
This is sad. You know, justice for Cardi B, justice for Culture. And their little family. And I always really liked them together. So.
Me too. And like they're two people who are at the height of their game, and like they're just so omnipresent in our culture. And this is sad to see, but we need what's best for Cardi.
So who do we set her up with now? I just feel like she's honestly like too powerful.
No, then that's like just a terrible like thing. Like,
no, I know.
A terrible notion that like you can't be right. powerful and successful and everything of the sort and get love too. Like that there's no one that could match up. Like, I mean, why can't the men step up?
You totally just call me out on my like.
No, but I think what you're saying is like. Is unfortunately true.
Well, like, I think of Nicki Minaj, who, like, they really are so similar. And, like, Nicki Minaj, like, didn't really date throughout her career. And then she ended up with someone who's, like, not great. You know, everyone yeah. knows what we know about Nicki Minaj's husband. So, like, it's like, that's, those are our options for powerful women.
Well, it reminds me of This Is Paris, because this is a conversation that she had with her sister, where she was, like, she's always, like, dating these guys who become their her bitch boy and, like, follow her around. And then, like, they become emasculated and she's, like, so turned off by mm-hmm. them. And her sister was like, you need to date an equal. And it's like, who?
Right.
How?
Sorry, there are just so many powerful women out there.
Who, what, when, where, how, why?
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation, just, like, her dating life in general.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about regarding This Is Paris.
But let's think of people who we could set Cardi B up with, because she deserves happiness.
Yeah, and also I do think, like, I mean, obviously it didn't work out, but Offset is an equal, you know?
Yes, of course. So you know who's another cute? Migos.
So it's also like an equal can't even stack up.
Migos is like full of cute couples because Quavo is with Sweetie.
Oh, cute.
And they're like such a good looking cute couple. And I just like, I don't know, I feel like the Migos guys like really match really well with other like people in the industry.
Like it would have been a cute, like it would probably fun double dates.
Totally. I love Sweetie. You know, I was on a podcast once with Sweetie, like way before she was like famous.
No, when?
Like years ago.
What podcast?
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh.
It was like interesting people from different.
That's cool.
Yeah. And she was like so pretty. She was really shy. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to remember her name like in case she blows up. And now here we are.
Here we are. So who would you set her up with?
I don't know. I need to think more time.
I need to like go through my Rolodex.
But an equal, it's just like hard because whatever equal, she's in the music industry. So like whatever equals, like just probably going to cheat on her again.
Right.
Which is a terrible reality.
Yeah. Which is why like she needs an accountant.
Everyone needs an accountant. Do you know that? Nobody, do you know that TikTok song? Nobody asks what you do when you're an accountant.
Yes, I have actually seen that one.
That's, yeah. All these celebrities, Khloe Kardashian needs an accountant.
Yeah.
Everyone just needs like a nice CPA who works at Ernst & Young. Very high up.
I mean, yeah, that's prestigious.
They need Ernst or
like,
Young.
Or they own their own like accounting firm. Like
boutique.
Like a little like small town accountant firm.
And you're making it into a Hallmark movie.
I mean, that sounds like the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah, they have like a little storefront in town.
And maybe she's like rolling. Okay, I got it. Cardi B is coming through this. She's on her way to like a big concert. She's on her tour bus. The tour bus breaks down in a really small town. It's April 10th. Tax season is coming up. So not only does she have to get her bus repaired, she has to do her taxes. She goes
she
over.
She can't get in contact with her big time LA
accountant because there's no service.
Right.
And so she walks over to the local CPA firm.
The local H&R Block.
They fall in love.
Wait, and the movie's called Tax Day.
Oh, yeah, like Draft Day.
Yeah, that's love good. It.
That's really good. I think there's something there.
Can someone who and listens to this show, who's like a graphic designer, make like a fake movie poster, Tax Day, with like a generic looking CPA and Cardi B in like this beautiful little small town?
Yeah, I think that that...
I think it could be a hit.
Is no, but I also think like that's a beautiful love story. And it would be like the type of movie that would like inspire everyone to like go out and get their own accountant, you know?
Yeah, no, and like pay their taxes.
And do their taxes. Like, no, yeah, I feel think like the IRS would honestly fund it because it could be like just a good PSA for them to remind you to do your taxes. And like that is actually the sort of movie that we need considering no one ever tells you how or yeah. that you need to do your taxes.
And like the motivation is like file your taxes. You could end up falling in love.
Yes.
You never know what happens on tax day. Anything could happen.
Anything can happen on tax day.
I love it.
Beautiful. Okay. Next up, I think these are two people who we have never spoken about on this show.
Okay.
But here we go.
Okay.
Kate Gosselin says John Gosselin is, quote, a violent and abusive person after incident with son Colin. Kate Gosselin has had enough. The mother of eight is speaking out against her ex-husband, John Gosselin, nearly 2 weeks after their son Colin accused him of physical abuse, which he has denied. Quote, I am done hiding and will say this unequivocally. John is a violent and abusive person, Kate tells People exclusively. Last week, People confirmed that Pennsylvania's Berks County Child and Youth Services had notified Kate of investigation into an alleged violent incident involving the 16-year-old that took place earlier this month. According to the CYS letter, which People has viewed, the allegation is of, quote, causing bodily injury to a child through recent act slash failure to act, hitting slash punching.
I would just like to officially, now that this is the first time we're ever speaking about John and Kate Plus 8 on our show, like, and welcome them to the show in an official capacity.
I'm going to dismiss John.
I really hope we like never got to like this desperate place where like we had to talk about them. I never watched their show. And it's so funny because when people talk about like fame and celebrity, they're like, it's so hard to get famous and it's even more hard to stay relevant. And I feel like John and Kate have managed to do so seamlessly. Like I remember like when we used to live in Long Island, like I literally had remember hearing their names back then. And it's like now this is 15 years later. Like I still know who they are. It's just crazy how like they literally fell into this like terrible, not a good version of fame, but fame nonetheless. And like here they are.
I mean, yeah, here they are. I do think that they really are like the perfect example of like, you know, stop making stupid people famous.
Yes.
And bad people too. And this is like a really unfortunate story, especially because they're famous for being like parents.
Right. And you know, not good ones.
And for having like so many kids.
Right.
And this is how they treat them. Like it's yeah. just, it's, this is like a pit inducing story.
Yeah. Terrible story. And I guess we'll keep you updated on it, but justice for the kids.
Justice for the kids. Next story, someone we haven't spoken about in a long time because I feel like she's been kind of under the radar, but Don't Be Tardy is premiering on October 6th.
Okay.
And so Kim Zolciak is sharing her sweet birthday gift that she got for Troy.
I know that it's like not a super, super popular opinion, but like I absolutely love the Bierman family so much. Like I just would love to like be with them for the day, like see what goes on in their house. I have so many questions about them and their businesses and their finances, but like at the end of the day, I just love them. And I feel like every year it's like a question, is Don't Be Tardy coming back? It's always like,
yeah, I mean, it's a question that you're always asking
because it's like we never get a premiere date. Usually shows premiere at the same time, similar time every year. We literally are like all over the place. Sometimes, are you choking again?
A little bit. Like, I just took a really big gulp.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Yeah, yeah. Don't worry.
Like, sometimes there's literally 2 years between Don't Be Tardy seasons, and it's, like, just normal, I guess.
But I just feel like the last time I watched Don't Be Tardy, maybe I missed a season, but, like, Ariana was still, like, a tween.
No.
And now I look at her Instagram, and, like, she's grown.
No, she's a full-blown, like, Instagram girl.
Yeah. And I feel like she's been, like, a kid being an Instagram girl for so long, which is always, like, cute. And
like being an Instagram girl though, like with braces.
Yes, exactly. Very sweet. But now she's like grown.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested to watch a show because I feel like I haven't seen it in so long.
Also, I follow them, like most of them on Instagram. Ariana's going to college, which is crazy because Brielle didn't, but Ariana's like always been really, really smart in school.
Right.
So she's going to college, which is crazy.
That's so exciting. Well, Kim is sharing the details about the thoughtful birthday present she gave her man over the weekend while celebrating his 35th birthday.
I feel like it's like literally like a rim job, you know?
No. This gift I really loved. It's a book. The company's called Best of Legacy. And what they do is they take Croy's entire football career. And there's like articles, pictures, videos of his biggest plays. And this huge book of his entire football career, which is so awesome from start to finish.
Is this an ad?
I don't know.
Article feels like an ad.
I know. I feel weird. Like Best of Legacy.
You're like doing an ad for Best of Legacy.
I know. And it's like that's a sweet book, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, like I'm sure she also got him like a million other things like actually worth money, but
yeah, wait, I feel duped because like I clicked on this, I was like, oh, what did Kim get Croy for her birthday? Like I assumed it would be something sick, and I read the story and it was Best of Legacy, but I just thought like when I said it would sound better.
You know, it's totally an ad, but whatever, we get to talk about the Biermans, which I'm always happy to do.
Yeah,
I love them. Like honestly, every day that I wake up in their house like isn't in foreclosure, like I'm just overjoyed.
I know. I'm looking for like where it says on the website, like this story is
advertorial.
Right. It's not advertorial.
It's not.
No, but I don't know. Maybe like E was feeling as desperate as us today.
Totally. That's such a fake story.
Truly. The reason why I chose it is because Don't Be Tardy is coming back on October 6th. And I thought that was information that you might want to know.
No, of course I know. Like I watch Bravo every day. And I'm so thrilled about it. Like I feel like I'm a part of a really elite group of Bravo fans who like die for the Biermans, and I just love them so much. And their show, I think probably I just connect to it so much just because they're like an abnormally close family, and like mm-hmm. we're the same, and like borderline like inappropriate. Like, you know, like Brielle is closer in age to her dad like than her mom is, you know? Like,
yes. No, they have that like family X factor that I think is why they are successful and have stayed successful. And it's like the same thing that like the Kardashians had. Not saying that they're the Kardashians,
yes.
but that same thing where it's like, it's just pleasurable to watch a family who loves each other.
100%. And it's like fighting and it's all fun and interesting. But at the end of the day, like when the premise of the show is built around just like love and respect for your family, like I'm automatically always going to be drawn to that.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yeah. And I feel like there are so many there were so many like family reality shows who tried to like duplicate that format, but where they get stuck is like there's no like big love there
in the family. Yeah.
You know,
Who is your favorite like Bierman character?
Oh, I mean, well, I would say Brielle. She's the only one that I follow on Instagram. And like, I think she's just interesting.
Yeah. I like,
but I think my favorite to watch on like the show would be Kim. Cause I just think she's fucking hysterical.
Me too. I think I love Brielle. I love Kim. And like, I also love Croy.
Yeah.
I like it, like, blush talking about them. I literally love them so much. I'm, like, such a big fan. You know, Brielle Bierman came to my show in Atlanta, and I, like, invited her on a whim because we had, like, DM'd a few times, and she, like, totally came and was, like, so fun. And she came backstage, and she FaceTimed her mom because I had made, like, a million Kim Zolciak jokes because I was in Atlanta, and it's, like, right. What else do you do in Atlanta besides talk about Kim Zolciak? I think I even, like, at one point, like, played Don't Be Tardy because I was, like, really trying to get into it, and I didn't know Brielle was coming. Like, I really invited her and didn't think she was going to come. And, she came backstage and she FaceTimed her mom and I got to FaceTime with Kim and it was like literally the best day of my life.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And they're really like such nice people. And like, so I guess some people could find it weird how like Brielle like graduated high school and like stayed in her house and like never left. I think she had an apartment for a few months but ended up like moving back home. But like, I just like love how like they have such a good relationship.
Yeah.
Especially like, I think when it first started out, like even before Housewives, but when Kim was on Housewives, it was this kind of like tumultuous thing where like Kim was a single mom and it was like so hard for them and they lived in the townhouse. And then like Croy came and like made them like a full family.
It's literally, it's a fairy tale.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's also why I think I'm really drawn to it. I can't believe that we went from like season one, Kim Zolciak, to Don't Be Tardy, Kim Zolciak. Like,
yeah.
It is a full fairy tale moment.
Mm-hmm.
I love
beautiful.
That. Yeah.
It's really beautiful. Okay. Some news in the streaming wars.
Okay.
Peacock reaches over 15 million signups, the CEO says.
I was one of them, yes.
Yes, I was one of them as well. What was I watching on Peacock? I think it might have been Yellowstone. That's what got me to subscribe.
I was watching Bethany Ever After. Also, do you know that they don't have like all the seasons of Housewives?
I saw your story, and I completely
shocking?
Agree with you. Yeah, that
they
is shocking.
They only have Dallas.
That's
four
so
seasons.
Weird.
Right?
So where are you watching
Hulu.
Season one?
It's all on Hulu.
That's so weird to me.
Like, I know.
It's NBC.
It's so weird.
Like, that's where I don't understand.
That's where the streamies get confusing.
And like just the TV industry. Like, someone explain to me how that makes sense.
It doesn't.
Okay, well, Comcast Cable is trending to add more than 500,000 broadband subscribers in the current third quarter.
What?
I don't know. I just don't know how that has anything to do with Peacock.
Yeah.
But NBC Universal says that Peacock has reached more than 15 million signups, which I think is really good for the streaming wars.
Yeah, it's just so interesting when they share data. Because, like, I think the most historic or, like, biggest launch ever was Disney Plus, and they had, like, 4 million people sign up in a day. I don't know what they're at now. HBO Max was also really, really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Quibi was not. No, and Netflix obviously, like, launched a million years ago and over time accumulated, like, 11 billion subscribers. But I'm, like, so here for, like, the streaming competition because a consumer...
Because we're benefiting.
We benefit when all these big companies are trying to outdo each other. We get lower prices. We get more content. So I'm just, like, here, like, licking it up. And I actually, when I was looking for the Real Housewives franchise on my TV yesterday, I was going through all my streaming services and I was literally trying to figure out which ones I actually pay for, and out of all my streaming services I only pay for HBO Max.
Like, because you mooch off of someone else's?
So we have our family Netflix account that I don't pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu, I use Liz Heights Hulu. What are the other ones? HBO Max I did purchase because I mooch so much off of everyone else that I gave that to Olivia, uses it now, and you're welcome to use it if you want.
What about Peacock?
Peacock is free.
That's true, but you watch ads?
Yeah.
I think I subscribe to Peacock. Do you have Apple Plus?
No.
Okay. I did, but then I think I canceled it.
And then what else is there?
I feel like we're missing a big one.
Ben pays for my Spotify. Like, it's literally Blue his like
Netflix.
Debit card from high school.
I guess that's it.
Oh, Prime?
Prime, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do
Amazon.
Pay for Prime. Fuck. But I don't pay for Prime video. I paid for Prime.
Prime confuses the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too, because I paid for, like, the shipping, and somehow now I have an account, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I paid for the shipping, and, like, now I get movies.
Yeah, I pay, like, the $100 a year to make sure, like, my toothbrush comes tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I never really signed up for video, but, like, it's confusing.
It is really weird.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's because they're, like, they have their hand in so many things, it's, like, hard to keep it apart, but I just know it just makes my life easier.
They're putting
even
out
though there's
some, like,
really, like, never anything to watch on Prime unless you're interested in, like, their Amazon original shows, which I'm not.
No, Amazon Prime is, like, for movie night when you have, like, an old movie you want to watch and you just have to go buy it because it's not going to be on Netflix.
But that's not Amazon Prime. That's, like, iTunes, you know?
Yes, that's iTunes.
Amazon Prime is, like, what you get for free and all their shows, and, like, literally Amazon Prime has, like, when you look at, like, what they recommend for me, it's, like, the most, like, direct-to-DVD Hallmark
movies.
That's you.
They're doing a good job.
No. But, like, even I wouldn't watch it. Even I don't watch it.
The Amazon has also been putting out,
like, Rodeo and Juliet.
Oh, God.
Rodeo and Juliet.
Rodeo.
It's about a country couple that falls in love.
Amazon has also been putting out these, like, really high-quality, like, emotional commercials. Have you been seeing them?
No.
Like, I literally start watching these commercials and, like, I cry. It's, like, just about all these different people who work for Amazon, like, what it means to them and how they want to, like, leave the world so great for their kids. And it's, like, so nice. And, like, literally they play this music and I'm, like, am I crying?
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
They know how to get you.
They also have a new mission by 2040. They're going to be, like, a zero carbon footprint company.
How's that possible?
And in the commercial, the guy was, like, we set this goal. Like, we don't know how we're going to do it,
like,
but we're going to do it.
All of the boxes.
Well, so I've always thought that it was weird that, like, they didn't come up with something, like, more environmental friendly for the boxes. But now almost all of their delivery trucks in California are electric, and they're planning on, like, rolling that out to, like, the whole country, which is, I think, a good step. But I don't know how, like, literally the biggest company in the world.
Boxes, like, stress me out. Just thinking of, like, where do all the boxes go?
I think they're reused.
Yeah, you put them in the recycling, but there's just so many boxes.
I don't really 100% understand how recycling works. Oh, my God. Speaking of recycling, this has nothing to do with recycling. But the most traumatic thing happened to me yesterday. So I ordered groceries, and all my groceries came, and I mostly got, like, Snapple, soda. Like, I really get beverages when I order. And so I saw this TikTok trick where, you know, like, what is it, 12 can cases that come in those big long cases, yeah, of soda. A trick, like, for easily getting them in your fridge, because usually I'm like one,
right,
two. It's so frustrating. I saw this trick and it works amazing. You open up both ends of the package, you put the package in the fridge, and then you push out the soda into the fridge and you pull the box out. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, so let me start one more time.
Okay,
so
you open up both what do you mean both ends? Like, where?
Of the box. Both ends of the soda,
like,
can.
Like, the top and the bottom. Not the side and the side.
The two and the two. Wait, it's a rectangle. So it's,
yeah,
like,
so there and there.
Where you open,
okay,
it.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. And so you put it open in the fridge.
Okay.
With both ends open.
Okay.
And the end that's facing you, you hold the sodas and you pull the box out and all the sodas just go in your fridge.
Okay. Sure.
It's literally such a great time saver.
Did you do it?
Yeah. I've done it for, like, the last couple weeks, ever since I figured out the TikTok trend. And then I thought I would do it with my glass of Snapple bottles.
Literally. There's, like, four in a row.
No. I opened up both ends of the box and then picked it up and put it in my fridge when I should have put it in my fridge.
Oh, my God. I can't.
They went flying. I wasn't wearing shoes. My entire floor was soaked in peach schnapple, and there was glass everywhere. Ben came running. It literally, just by the sound of all these glasses breaking, like, I don't even know what he thought he was walking into. It was so scary. and like, I don't even know how you begin to clean that up, because, like, you can't vacuum the glass up because there's soda everywhere. Like, it was just,
no, it's like
crazy. Ben literally had to, like, cancel his 3 o'clock call. And, like, we were literally on our floor on our hands and knees picking up shards of glass all afternoon. It was, and that's why you shouldn't follow TikTok hacks. Okay, that's my lesson of the day.
How many broke?
Only three. But if you saw it, you would literally think the whole box.
That is so crazy. And THGO was okay. He didn't step on
anything.
We had to
quickly lock him in the fridge. I mean, in the crate. I mean. I'm just, like, thinking about it in the fridge.
I can't.
In the crate.
By the way, from the way you talk about it, it sounds like you have the biggest fridge ever. Because I don't know if I could do those tricks. Like, there's not enough, like, length for me to pull and
There is. Just
and then
try
also
it.
Lock my dog in there.
Just try it. It's such a great hack. But I would suggest only using aluminum cans, not glass bottles. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for that PSA. Because you know what? Like, I actually think that people, like, that's alert. Like, that's some a mistake that someone else would have made.
Yes, because it's a very popular TikTok
spare
trend.
Them. Like, sometimes I'll, like, make, you have to, like, you really have to learn things the hard way.
Yep.
Unless, like, there's a podcaster, like, who's here to spare you.
Just do your glass Snapple bottles one by one, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Claudia.
So, yeah, was that the last story?
No. Our fifth and final story is really a great segue into recapping This Is Paris, because Paris Hilton says she turned down The Hills reboot a ton of times.
Good.
During appearance on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Tuesday, the entrepreneur, DJ, and former Simple Life star revealed she was asked to join the cast of MTV's The Hills and its 2019 reboot, The Hills New Beginning, several times. Quote, yes, I did say no to it a ton of times, she said when asked if it was true that she turned it down. They wanted me both times and I said no. In fact, she says she gets reality TV offers daily.
Sure.
Quote, every single day we get different calls, people pitching shows, and I always say no. I'm too focused on my business, said the star who owns 19 different product lines, including a line of 27 fragrances. Quote, I just don't have time for that. When they call me with something, I always just say I don't have time.
Well, honestly, like, it was a good idea for the Hills producers, and it would have elevated the show, but what people don't understand about...
The show needs her.
Right, but what people don't understand about Paris, and I think what was really unveiled in the documentary, it's like, she's not just, like, this famous person. Like, it's a very carefully coordinated business, and, like, honestly, I think her being on The Hills would be, like, a huge step down.
Oh, for sure. Especially, like, just being part of an ensemble cast, when it sounds like, I'm sure, literally, if she went to E! And said, I want to have, like, a show
this
about
is Paris.
Myself, this is, like, it would be... filming tomorrow.
Of course.
So, like, but it would be great for The Hills New Beginnings to have her, but, like, it wouldn't be great.
Right.
For
I
her.
Think that was, like, the route they were taking, like, with Misha Barton, like,
who was everything of the sort, and I'm so upset that she's not coming back.
Yeah, justice for her. I really liked her.
I absolutely loved her. Okay, let's talk about This Is Paris.
What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was so interesting. I was literally, like, laughing in anticipation of the Tomorrowland, because once I met the German guy, I was like, I was thinking of your impression and I was laughing. And then when it happened, like, I was so shocked, and I was so proud of her, because
me too.
And she really handled it, like, so sensitively at first, and, like, was really putting up with a lot of shit, and then once, like, she turned, like, goodbye, gone, like, just really strong, and I just admired her so much in that moment.
Yeah, it was a really just interesting, like, spectacle almost of, A, what it's like to date when you're Paris Hilton, because you just get these, like, losers. He was mad that she was, he was there. He was there with her, for her, to support her. And she's fucking working. Like, it's such a big deal to do Tomorrowland. Like, the biggest festival in the world. And, like, you're just not going to be supportive. And, like, that was just upsetting.
Yeah, it was really upsetting. I'm so glad that she kicked him to the curb and, like, didn't put up with it. Because, you know, oh, my God, it was just infuriating. Like, watching, like, him, like, hang on to her and, like, put his face in her neck and be like... I just really can't. But the rest of the documentary was... so good. I mean, she really is. It's, I mean, she's so stunning, first of all. Like, I mean, she's a beautiful girl, and we've always known that, but seeing pictures of her, like, growing up and, like, in her teens and now, and how similar, like, she looks the same.
And by the way, she does not get Botox or anything.
I know, because, like, her forehead is amazing, but it does move, like, it moves when it
naturally
needs to move. So, and she definitely does not get work done, and she's just so stunning. And it was interesting to hear about, like, this character persona, which I feel like we've all sort of known. I think that actually the most interesting thing is, like, because I feel like so many people say, you know, I play the dumb blonde, like, mm-hmm. Cameron Westcott, but, like, I'm in on the joke.
Right.
And, okay, sure, like, perfect. I believe you. But when she was talking to her friends from Provo, and they were like, when we were watching The Simple Life and you said you didn't know how to use a mop, we're like, bitch, like, yeah. That's all we did there was clean.
Right.
So I just thought that was so interesting.
And it really is this characterization. And it's like, she has two voices. And I think people are shocked to realize, like, her natural voice is very low.
So deep.
And that's how you know, like, when, yeah, that's hot. That's how you know it really is this character, because her natural voice doesn't go up that high. She really has, like, a man voice.
Yeah.
Nikki has a very low voice, too.
Yeah, they both have low voices. It's really crazy.
And I love their sisterhood.
I love their sisterhood. Like, they're so honest and straightforward with each other. And they've had so many real conversations on camera that I thought were so interesting. I want for Paris, like, I know, like, her brand sort of, like, gets in the way of everything for her, but I feel like she could dial it back, you know, and I think that her audience would, yeah, and this might be the
documentary
first step towards
was the
doing
first step.
That. Yeah. But I think that her audience would be really receptive towards that.
Yeah. But like, she's just like hustles and she, it's, I just found it so interesting how like she does so many things that don't make her happy because she's just so motivated by being successful and specifically money. And I feel like that's something like a lot of people might relate to. It's like hating what you do, but like not even just like needing the money, but like wanting yourself to be like wanting all these things for yourself.
Yeah.
And wanting to hit all these benchmarks and like prove to everyone that like you're not dumb and like you are smart and you can be successful. And like, I totally related to that. And I just like, I just loved getting to know her. I loved seeing how she lived, like her closets and her racks of clothes.
It's so crazy because she's so disorganized. And like when in all of those moments when they were trying to leave the house to go to an event, she's carrying like a million things and like so many different backpacks. Like, it was so stressful to watch. And I feel like a lot of times when you watch celebrities, and I feel like we're so used to watching the Kardashians, for example, and like they're like a perfectly scheduled train arrives on time. Kim is always early. Like,
remember when Courtney literally had her assistants go through all of her pouches and organize the lip glosses, lipsticks, and lip liners?
Right. Like, that's the level of organization I'm used to from celebrities. So to watch Paris, who's literally like on her computer, like, it's like, who holds Kim's, like, I know her, Kim's computer is not as important to her daily job, but like, it's like making sure the computer doesn't fall. Like, now I was just like, oh, the computer's gonna fall. Like,
before Tomorrowland, when literally her computer was like being flopped around the tent
on a suitcase, like rolling around, like, and it's like the whole set is, it was really stressful.
Yeah.
So I think that adds like stress to her life, but like the chaos is sort of what she's used to. But I thought it was really interesting, and the way that they did the documentary I thought was really well done, because we're learning so much about her, and then pretty much a lot of the things that she struggles with stem from what happened to her while she was at Provo. Obviously, like the insomnia and the PTSD, but also that feeling of wanting to make so much money, I think for her goes back to from when she was there, just wanting independence on every level.
And like hated being a kid and like having someone to answer to, and someone like she couldn't just leave and go clubbing, or not even clubbing, just like be her own person. And I feel like a lot of people who grew up in like really strict households have that sort of feeling where it's like they need to be successful because they never want to be codependent or not self-sufficient.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Her childhood was fascinating, like just like the houses and the living in the Waldorf and just like her parents. Like, I just, oh, and Kyle Richards cameo in the beginning. Like, I find like the Richards Hilton come up to be very fascinating.
Very, I agree, very fascinating. And I also hope that with Breaking Code Silence that like they are able to get these places shut down, because I feel like I remember growing up there were always like myths about those places, like these boarding schools that come and like kidnap you in the middle of the night.
Yes.
For like kids who were out of line.
And by the way, I never really thought of until this documentary how unbelievably traumatizing it is to get taken from your sleep in the middle of the night and not realizing it's something that your parents like coordinated.
Right. Either not realizing that your parents are in on it, or seeing your parents and them not helping you.
Right.
Like, and feeling like no, like you can't trust anyone. Helpless. No one is going to be there to help you. Like, that is lasting trauma.
I never thought of the implications of that technique. And I knew it's like you would send someone to military school, like they would come in and pick them up in the middle of the night. And it was like this almost like trope. They did it in like movies and TV shows.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's really scary in that moment. But then you find out like you're just going to a school. No. But no, it's like that stays with you forever.
It's everlasting trauma. Yeah.
And like watching her like be up all night and have to wake up early for these call times and like glam. I don't know how she does it.
I know. The sleeping was like giving me so much anxiety.
Yeah, truly.
So I'm glad it was good, right?
It was really good. And I think that that's exactly what we needed from her. Like, I feel like she either could have written a book or done this documentary. And I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I feel like the documentary was a good route to take because you really get to see like how different she is from like Paris Hilton. Like, Paris is just like a down-home chick.
Yes.
So I feel like that needed to be visual.
She doesn't even like wear pink or sparkles when she's hanging out at home.
No, she just like wears sweatpants and like has a blowout.
Yeah, like she's like just like her baggy black pants that she was always wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the glam was on point. Her eyeshadow and her eyeliner, like sickening.
Yeah, she has good glam. Really quickly, so I wanted to restart a Real Housewives franchise and I started with New York, and I just have to say it's one of the most amazing decisions I've ever made.
Really? Like, I did not think you were going to say that.
It reminded me of how like when you enough time has passed and you can rewatch Desperate Housewives, like forgetting the true joy and beauty of so many things, but most specifically Alex and Simon. Like,
stop.
I had totally forgot that they literally like tricked this group of women into thinking they were something. And
no, they didn't.
No, they did, because literally you watch the first season and they're definitely weird, and everyone knows they're like a little off, you know, like they live in Brooklyn and they're just like kind of weird, and everyone knows
that. Did they live in Brooklyn in the beginning, or they moved to Brooklyn?
I thought they moved, but they lived in Brooklyn.
I think we just confuse her with Miranda.
100%. So, and we, and the women in the group, like, know that they're just like a little different, like off the beaten path, but they're still very much in society. They go to the opera. They spend thousands of dollars at Cavalli. They go to St. Bart's. It's like they do all the things right, and literally they messed up. The whole thing was a facade, and they messed it up by inviting Bethany over to their house and filming at their house. And I don't know if you remember, but season one, like, they were literally living in squalor. Like, they bought this townhouse that they planned on renovating. But,
I remember the townhouse.
There were no floors. There were no walls. Like, there was just, like...
Were they living there?
Yes! With, and, like, literally living in a basement. Like, and it was shocking. And literally, we go to the reunion, and everyone was like, was there anything that you guys saw on the show that you didn't, like, really experience, and it, like, shocked you? And all of them were like, we couldn't believe how Alex and Simon were living. And so it really, like, took this whole, like, their whole image down, because while they were never, like, the coolest people in Manhattan, they had they were putting off this energy that they were, like, cool and different.
Yeah.
And it was just this fake facade. Like, and I forgot how much of, like, a, how much they, like, faked their way through, and how it was, like, pulled out from underneath them. Like, I totally forgotten about all of that. I also had totally forgotten about this the dynamics before the women, before they became famous. Like, Luann, in my opinion, was, like, the coolest.
100%.
And Ramona was, like, dying to crack that friend group and just, like, be friends with the Countess. And I'm sorry, I had totally forgotten, but, like, Jill is everything. Like, I loved her so much, and now I remember why. Like, she's, like, your aunt. Like, she's so and fabulous. And her and Bethany are just becoming really close friends. And, like, I have a pit because, like, I know it doesn't end well.
Yeah.
But, like, the show, I think, became what it did because, like, first of all, the women were all wealthy. 4 out of 6 of the women had houses, like, huge houses in the Hamptons. And the other one was Bethany, and she eventually gets one. And the other one was Alex and Simon. They obviously didn't have one. And, oh, do you remember when Alex and Simon rent a house in the Hamptons?
No.
So Jill and Bethany are staying at Jill's house for the summer. And Jill gets a masseuse to come over. And this woman, and you know Jill, she can't just relax. She's yenta, talking. And the masseuse is like, oh, I have this couple staying at my house. I rent one of my properties. And Jill was like, oh, anyone I know? And she's like, Alex and Simon Van Campen. And Jill is shook. They go to the house. It is truly like, it's just the dichotomy between going from like Jill's house, the Countess's house, Ramona's house, so nice. Who's the fourth one? What's the house?
Jill? There's another one, Luann, Ramona.
No, I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Kelly. Kelly joined season 2. Do you know that? I thought she was season 5.
Oh, interesting.
Kelly has a sick house in the Hamptons.
That's crazy that she... So she's running in the street season 2?
Yes. I thought she joined like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, me too.
No. She joined season 2. She has a sick house in the Hamptons. And I was getting off track, but my point was that, like, this was a really fabulous group of women. Like, they were all so wealthy. Like, their apartments in the city were sickening. And I think I really enjoy watching it because it reminds me of a time in New York that, like, I think of very fondly. Like, this is when I was, like, in high school, and, like, I went to high school on the Upper East Side. Well, we went to high school on the Upper East Side, and, like, that's where all these women, like, frolicked, and they went to Scoop, and Ali Shapiro went shopping. Like, it just reminded me, like, really of my youth and, like, a great time in New York.
Yeah.
And when, like, the Upper East Side was, like, this fabulous, there were so many shops and restaurants, and, like, even before coronavirus, it had, like, started to go downhill a little bit. So it's just like it's a time capsule almost to like see all these places and restaurants, Serafina. Like,
that'd be like watching Gossip Girl again, because that's the same time.
I mean, there's just so much goodness to unpack, and it was just this really fabulous group of women. And you forget, like, there really
I run with a fabulous circle of women.
Jill, and she like last I run in a fabulous circle of people.
She was not lying.
It really was this like amazing group of well-connected women, and there was this like real social scene in New York and in the Hamptons. I remember they went to like this W Hotel beach house. I forgot that they even had that in the Hamptons at one point. Like, it was like a W Hotel mansion. Like, it was just like a fabulous time in New York, and it was a fabulous group of women, and they've really fallen so far, and you forget where they came from.
That's so interesting. I really thought when you said that you were going to start from the beginning, like, you were making a mistake, honestly.
No.
And if I had responded to you, I would have told you to watch Beverly Hills, because I would have thought that that would be more interesting. But it's crazy to hear that you're loving it, even though, like, do you think that, like, the drama and the storylines are as big as, like, they feel today?
No, they were minuscule, but, like, it was just so fresh, and this was before reality TV was a thing. So just, like, Bethany picking up Luann, getting into the car and introducing Luann to the driver as Luann. Luann literally going off about how she needs to be introduced to staff as Mrs. De Lesseps. And it's similar to how you introduce yourself to a child as you do to a driver. That's literally what she said. There, it commands a level of respect. Even that's nothing. Like today, that would be nothing. It was just fascinating, like, to see these women and, like, come from these worlds, you know?
Yeah.
And you just forget about the townhouse. You forget about the count. You forget about Luann's son, Noel, taking breakdancing lessons. Like, you just forget about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, it's
but what's, how's the quality of watching it?
First season is a little blurry. Second and on is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I was worried about that as well. But even the reunion, like, Andy's so young, and that's when it was called Watch What Happens. Period. Like,
not Watch What Happens Live?
No, it was Watch What Happens.
But not the reunion.
Yes. Season one, and they would go to a clip, and it would be like, Watch What Happens, and then the clip.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, so it's just like a time capsule of New York, of Bravo.
Has it made you, when does Sonia join? That's season two.
She's like kind of late.
No, I feel like she's season three.
She's never on with Kelly, I don't think.
Except for Scary Island, right?
Was Sonia on? I don't think Sonia was on Scary Island.
That's so weird. I would have thought that Sonia joined before Kelly.
No, I knew Kelly was before, but I thought Kelly was like 4, 5, 6. But I think she's 2, 3, 4.
Are you like looking forward to or dreading when Cindy Barshop joins?
I'm actually like excited to revisit that whole Quag thing. I thought, like, it was so funny.
I think it'll be good for you to revisit like why she made such a lasting impression on
she
you.
She did. Leave me alone. She didn't. She did not.
She did.
She did not.
I think we should have her on the show.
I think we should move on to Dear Toasters.
Oh my God, I forgot about Dear Toasters.
Yeah, so again, Dear Toasters is our advice segment. If you ever want to write us in, and please do, we're running dry on some good content. But deartoasters@gmail.com is the email. We'll always keep it anonymous. We'll never rat you out, but you can write in about any problems that you're having, and we will do our best to help you. So let's dive right in. Excuse me. Hi, Jackie and Claudia.
Hi.
I'm writing you because I'm very conflicted. My parents have been married for 28 years, but recently things have not been okay. They fight all the time and they don't even share a room. They constantly talk about how they can't wait to move out of the house they live in now and keep saying my dad will go to Florida and my mom will go to Rhode Island. A couple days ago, my dad went to the doctor. My mom, being a nurse, always reads what the doctor wrote on his notes from the visit. My mom noticed that he was prescribed Viagra, which caused a huge fight, and my mom thinks that he's cheating. They kind of dropped it, and I think it was either solved or ignored. I just went to walk around the couch to go upstairs, and my dad was on the phone, and I think he was on a Tinder on his phone. What do I do? Do I tell my mom it looked like a dating app and there was a picture of a woman at the bottom? I know that even if it's not true, my mom will not let it go, but if he's cheating, do I just tell her? Please help. A toaster in a situation I didn't ask to be in.
Ooh, this is so difficult.
I can't judge because, like, I've never been a parent, but I just firmly believe that, like, the parents' issues are the parents' issues, and, like, you should really try and keep it away from the kids for as long as possible.
But, like, what about when the kids are adults? Like, say this girl is 30.
A kid is an adult, but, like, they're still your kid.
Yeah, I agree, but, like, there's a difference between, like, not involving the children and not involving, and like, just the offspring.
I actually feel like when you're getting divorced, like, it might be easier on a 12-year-old than it is on, like, a 25-year-old.
It's different. I think that it's hard on a 12-year-old because I think that there's a lot that they don't understand. But then I think for a 25-year-old, it's like they actually understand too much. And that's also difficult. And,
right.
And when you get divorced at that age, it sort of like makes you question your entire life.
And when you're 12, it's like kids are just really, really like flexible. Like, and they go, that's like room. Like, you really see like kids can bounce back.
But also, yes, in some senses, but it also sort of, since they're not like fully formed, like it affects how they will
grow up.
So, I mean, it's tough regardless, I think, but I think for this person, so the question is like, should you tell your mom what you saw on your dad's phone? It sounds like your mom has her suspicions, and it also sounds like they're living separate lives.
Yeah. It sounds like you need to come to the realization, like, your parents are most likely getting divorced, and like, you need to be okay with that. Let them figure it out. It'll happen, honestly, in the next few years.
And also, like, you thought you saw something, but I wouldn't go to your mom with something that you thought that you saw. Like, and I'm not telling you to snoop and find something legit, but if you in your travels, you see, like, legitimate evidence, share that with her. Don't share, like, a feeling or a thought that you had.
Like, don't start, like, a whole balagan unless you have, like, hardcore proof. And it sounds like you don't. It sounds like you have a feeling and, like, a screenshot.
And it sounds like your mom has the same feeling that you have. So I don't think there's any need to, like...
Yeah. If your mom was, like, had no idea of anything, like, then you would feel a responsibility. Yeah. But it seems like they have a whole plan. They're moving out. Like,
right.
You don't need to make things worse.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. The feeling...
Stay out of it.
Yeah.
All right. HYD, Jackson Claude.
Hi, there.
I've been wanting to bring this up for a while, but my situation never felt big enough to share. One of my coworkers, she named him Elon Musk's son's name, and I honestly like don't know how to pronounce it. Let's call him Angel. One of my coworkers, let's call him Angel, is very creepy towards me.
She wrote XAE12.
XAEA-12. That's what she wants to call her coworker, but.
That's funny.
Okay, fine, I'll call. One of my coworkers, let's call him XAEAE12, is very creepy towards me. I've always been nice to him because he's a strange human who's more socially awkward than Alex McCord. Wow, that's so weird because we were literally just talking about her. I find that quality endearing, so I befriended him at work to make him feel more comfortable. You sound like such a nice person. Since then, he's been making inappropriate comments and advances towards me. For example, when we were in the office, he complimented my ankles and how he admired the space between my socks and pants. This was in front of my whole team, and I cringely accepted the comment. Fast forward to today, the same team was in a Zoom meeting, and XAE12 had to share his screen. What do I see on his screen? A picture of my fucking ankle on his desktop. Three of them, actually. I know it's mine because I have a particular scar near my foot. Should I hide under a rock or do something? I'd rather not say anything because it's embarrassing. Best cankles. Wow. That is something, truly.
That is so weird.
Like, I'm actually speechless. Like,
like, the optimist in me wants to say, well, because when he complimented you on your socks to your pants ratio, like, sometimes people wear, like, there's, like, say you're wearing socks like I'm wearing,
yep,
with, like, a capri. And, like, on me, that would look, like, terrible. But
it's a tough look to pull off.
Yeah, maybe he was, like, really into it. And, like, maybe he has a girlfriend and, like, took a picture to show her, like, you should try this style.
Oh, my God, Jackie. Honestly, like, I would love for you to ignore this because conversation is weird. But, like, this really sounds like the beginning of, like, Colton and Cassie.
A Lifetime movie.
He, like, this is not normal behavior. And I'm afraid, like, it could really turn into something scary and, like, dangerous. And it's just really creepy. And I feel like you have to, like, tell HR, which is just so awkward and so uncomfortable. But these are, like, signs that you shouldn't ignore.
Yeah, and I just feel like until it's resolved, you should just, like, wear pants that cover your ankles.
100%.
Like, you don't want to tempt
him. I will literally Amazon Prime. we'll send you some, like, big UGG boots to cover your ankles. Like, huge socks, because you have to protect yourself. And maybe
you have to protect your ankles. There's such... It's literally your Achilles heel. Like,
wow, yes.
It's such a tender...
Your ankles are so beautiful that they actually put you in danger.
It's such a tender part of your body. And it reminds me of the movie Sleepover, when we see Steve. Is that his name?
Carell?
No. Her boy, the guy that,
yes,
she likes.
Yes, Steve.
Steve, when he's in the shower, when he's getting in the shower and he drops his boxers, mm-hmm, and we see his Achilles tendon. They just look so vulnerable.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you,
yeah,
have to protect that.
And you know what? Honestly, I think it's also your job to, like, protect the other women in the office. So I think that what you should do is, like turn all the air conditioning up really, really, really cold so that all the women, like, have to wear furry socks.
I got,
like,
it better.
What?
You should release, like, an army of ants, and they'll start biting everyone's ankles, so everyone will wear, like, long pants.
Okay, that seems, like, really dramatic. Like, no, or just...
release a box of ants.
No, I think the air conditioning aunties thing is good. Or, like, get a bunch of your female coworkers, like, matching socks, like, with monograms on it. To be like, we should wear these every day to work and, like, never wash them.
Or, like, if HR doesn't heed your complaint, like, you should take up a petition with HR, like, for a dress code where everyone's ankles have to be covered.
Yes, like Gilead in... Handmaid's Tale. It's, yeah, like, everyone has to wear now, like, long dresses and head coverings.
But the ankles could be covered by socks.
Yeah, that is what they're there for. This is a weird one. Honestly, good luck. But don't take it lightly. This is, like, creepy behavior, and I feel like it is the start of a bad movie. So,
yeah,
so please look into it.
Yeah, protect your ankles.
All right, next up, final one. Claudia and Jackie, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the studio. I started dating this guy right before the holidays last December. He was tall, creative, and had a corgi. Corgi?
Corgi. Corgi. Oh my God, I was like, a what?
A corgi.
He had an orgy.
By the way, I feel like people who describe other people as creative are very, like, interesting people.
The people who describe others as creative?
Yeah. I've, like, never, like, thought once to describe someone as a creative.
Oh, interesting.
It's just, like, an interesting adjective to use.
Yeah, but I also think it's super descriptive, and she said he's a creative or he's creative.
He was tall, creative, and had a corgi.
I think there's a difference between being creative and being a creative. Like, when you're...
I think being a creative is, like, literally the fakest job ever.
No, yeah, I think that when you're... I think people would describe me as creative. Like, in every way, I'm creative. Like,
you paint your nails,
My imagination, like, I just... I'm creative. But I'm not a creative. That is someone who, like, works... in Brooklyn, yep. and they have like glasses, and they have an iPad where they like make graphic designs on it
with a
like,
little pen,
with a little pen thing.
Yeah.
That is a creative.
Okay. So she started dating this guy last December before the holidays. He was tall, creative, and had a corgi. Wait.
Corgi. Yeah. Yeah.
Corgi. Okay. It like sounds wrong.
No, corgi sounds wrong.
So what could really go wrong? Cue the global pandemic. We were only dating for 3 months when we decided to leave New York City together and come back to my house in Massachusetts to quarantine. We were living in my grandmother's beach house, and TBH, he was driving me insane. Desperate to get
all that creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. It had nowhere to be funneled. Desperate to get the fuck away from him, I invited / begged my sister to come and join us on the Cape. As soon as she came down, I realized this guy was not it. Long story short, we eventually brought him back to New York City, and a week or so later, I called him to end things. He was not understanding and thought I was cheating on him. I wasn't. Hello, global pandemic. Not many guys around. But how do you tell someone it's them, not you? Anyway, I sent him back all his stuff plus a birthday present I'd previously ordered for him to his apartment in New York City. I included a return shipping label and a note asking him to return anything I left at his place before the world blew up. He is refusing to return my stuff and said that I'm selfish for sending the return label and was clearly never interested in him. But he has a lot of important, he has a lot of important stuff at his place, including a pair of my snake skin booties, a winter ski jacket, a curling iron, and a bracelet for my grandmother. How do I get the box back? I've been deliberately contacting his brother, mom, or even his brother's girlfriend, who I became close with. What do I do? Wow, that's really sad. Like her grandmother's bracelet.
Yeah.
Like, this is so petty.
Is she still on the Cape or is she back in the city? She didn't say. But I think probably today she's back in the city.
We eventually brought him back to NYC. So yeah, they all went back.
Okay, so I think if you're not getting your stuff and like it's not stuff that you can leave, like go with your sister, knock on his door and get in there and get your stuff.
Yeah, honestly, like, and when I get there, I would prioritize. Like, as much as your winter ski jacket is important, it's not as important as your bracelet from your grandmother.
What if she can't find it? Like, what if he hid it?
What if he threw it away? People do like really evil things when they get hurt.
That would be so crazy.
And you know what? Let this be a PSA to girls everywhere. Like, if you're thinking of breaking up with a partner, like, make sure you've been at their house recently and, like, take all the important things. But you don't want it to seem like you planned this. So, like, leave, like, an ugly, chunky sweater, but keep, like, your important jewelry.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, if you know you're not going to see the person ever again, like, go over and clean out.
Yeah.
Before you break up.
Or, like, maybe even leave the ski jacket, but, like, get the bracelet. Like, something that you truly can't. Go on without.
Honestly, I feel like this girl is most upset about her snake skin booties, not only because she listed it the first one. She also signed it sincerely a bootyless toaster. So she's really missing
her
booties.
Oh my God, where are the booties from? I mean, the worst would be if they're like your favorite booties and they're from a few seasons ago and you can't get them. But check Poshmark or the real. Like, you might find them. You never know.
Yeah, but also just go over there and fucking take your shit back.
Yeah.
You're never going to end the relationship if, like, you're not fully moved out and, like,
Like, if you guys were only dating 3 months into, like, before quarantine and then, like, you quarantined together for a little and it wasn't even good, like, you guys have been broken up for a long time now and, like, you should be moving on, not, like, thinking about your grandmother's bracelet.
Well, we also talk about quarantine relationships a lot and I feel like this is maybe, like, the least ideal. Like, you met someone and, like, you thought it would be, like, great for you guys to quarantine together and you really didn't know him that well. So, like, once you started quarantining together, like, you realized he wasn't it. Like, that sounds really, really difficult.
Yeah, especially, like, if you're in the Cape. Like, because I feel like it's hard to get there and get back.
Oh, yeah. It's not somewhere you could just commute back and forth, especially
when there weren't
in a pandemic.
And there weren't flights. So, like, right. You have to take the ferry and, like, did you have a car? Or you have to take a bus or a train. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah. But good luck with that. And just head over there. Take charge.
Take charge, but also bring someone with you.
Yes, of course. Maybe the police. That is our show. Again, that's Dear Toasters. Please write us in deartoasters@gmail.com. Those ones were great today, but we are running low. So email us anything. We'll always keep it anonymous. You can change people's names. We'll never rat you out. deartoasters@gmail.com. And that is our show.
That is our show. We will see you tomorrow. What's on tonight? Real Housewives of?
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. Okay, another reunion. Part 3.
I believe it's the last one.
Wow. I'm ready for that. I'm ready to put this behind me.
We'll be recapping it.
Tomorrow.
So thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every day on YouTube, Monday through Friday. So please subscribe to us on YouTube. And if you're watching this, give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.